9512, Paul and Vanessa Redifer, northeast of Road 273, northeast of Prorfin Lane, being lot 92B within Kinsale Glen Development, a special use exception for determination of use to retain a fence within a buffer zone.
Name and address?
Vanessa Redifer, 23 Corfin Lane, Rehoboth, Delaware.
Paul Redifer, 23 Corfin Lane, Rehoboth, Delaware.
You swear testimony about to give, do you have fresh knowledge?
Yes.
For the record, my name is John Sergovic. I represent the Redifers, who are the application, or the applicants in this case, and the next case, which is almost parallel, just so that what, a lot of what I say in this case is going to be incorporated into the next case. This is a little bit unusual, so I'm going to try to give the board a little background on how we got here. Originally, I helped the developer of Kinsale Glen, which is an RPC, get that RPC approved. Basically, it's a single-family house, housing development, but with the RPC, it became small lots. Prior to Kinsale Glen being in existence, the property was used as a executive golf course. And that the property was in turn bought from the Truitt family, who owned Silver View Lake, or Silver View Farms, a mobile home park adjoining it. In the process of getting the approval for the RPC, it was discovered that Silver Lake Farms did not have a required 50-foot buffer for their conditional use mobile home park. So the county council decided to create a 50-foot buffer along the boundary line between Silver View Farms Mobile Home Park and Kinsale Glen. However, that 50-foot buffer was also the backyard, the only available backyard, of about four or five property owners, the Redifers being one of them. In the RPC approval, originally, there was a fence between Silver View Farms and Kinsale Glen, which was in existence when my clients bought the property. And they will testify that they assumed that was a fence that demarked their backyard, and they could build adjoining fences up to it. And that's what they did. Then lo and behold, after they got their fences up, the requirement that the developer's fence be removed was implemented by the developer. And my other client actually had a building permit for their fence. And they, you know, were then cited for a violation. My clients did not have a building permit at that time. These fences have subsequently been removed, and we've come back to the Board of Adjustments for some relief. And it's a unique situation, because what's happening is the tenants at Silver View Mobile Home Park think that this 50 feet, because it's a buffer, is the area that they can use and walk their dogs in. Unfortunately, it's the backyards of my clients, and they really don't have a right to do that. It's all a question of misperception between adjoining property owners. And in order to rectify the situation, we'll show you some photographs in either this or the next application. And actually, it's the next application, but it's probably better to show it now. In the next application, and I'll just
show this photograph. There's many copies, so you can just pass them down to the board members. Just put it up on that page.
That photograph shows the fences installed through the Jerome property before they'd been removed, and shows the double line of fairly mature screening. I guess they're Leland cypress. What my clients propose to do is ask the board to authorize them to build their fences along their sidelines and in the middle of a double row of cypress trees so that they can have privacy in their backyard. There'll still be a buffered screen for Silver Lake Farms. It just won't be 50 feet wide. And that people can start using those fences to define their actual property rights as opposed to the misperception of property rights that currently exists between the two communities. Hopefully that gives you a little background and a visual of what we're talking about. And with that said, I will ask my clients a couple of questions. Vanessa, when you bought, you and your husband bought the property, what did you say?
The actual reason we bought that particular house was because we were looking for somewhere to have a fenced in backyard, because I have small children. I have a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old, and we also have a dog. And it was the safest looking area where the tree, you know, we were away from the main road, so we went off to the side. So we actually bought that property because we saw that our neighbors had a fence running along their backyard to the existing fence. So I went forward as best I knew how to start to erect this fence, and I did get it approved by my homeowners association, and I do have a letter with me for that. I was unaware.
Yeah. Did anyone make you aware that was supposed to be maintained just by the homeowners association, and that you weren't supposed to put structures in it?
No, and actually our homeowners association was not aware also.
Okay. Well, actually, of record, there was a deed of easement that spelled that out, but apparently everybody ignored it. So sometimes when you put something in a chain of title, it doesn't help getting it to the actual people who are implementing it. And copies of those are,
there should be 5 copies. We did draft a specific restrictive covenant before lots were sold to try to get the information out to the world that
what happened shouldn't have happened. But notwithstanding that, the Jerones actually got a permit for their fence before they installed it. I'll turn back to Vanessa. How much did your custom fence cost you?
$6,000, $6,015.
And after the fence was installed and you received a notice of violation, did you remove the fence?
We removed a portion of the fence, which we had to pay to remove the portion of the fence as well.
And the back
behind
fence?
Behind
okay.
The trees.
After the fence was removed, what kind of problems have you experienced?
Like I said, I have a 3-year-old. I've had multiple times where he has gone behind, to chase a ball through the trees, and there's a road right there. We have had both of our cars broken into. I have
and
a police
you,
report
you have
here.
A police report that you can show the board.
I have copies as well. Where we had a bike stolen and a cell phone and a laptop all out of our cars. Do you want all the copies or just one?
Just, I think one can be circulated, that's fine.
And that's been since our fences. And actually, we had our yard closed in for one whole day, and then the next day was when the fence came down. So we paid $6,000 for one day. So we've had, I actually seen people walking through the trees thinking they can cut through and then realizing that they're fenced in and they can't. So, and then, like I said, I have a dog as well, which was another reason we wanted the fence was to keep our dog inside. So we've had dogs from the Silverview Farms in our backyard.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah. Subsequent to your removing the fence and why this application was pending, were you visited by a zoning constable?
Yes. In the process of us not knowing what we were, you know, what to do, we were at a standstill. The constable came out. My husband was home to tell us, you know, that we needed the permit and that we were in violation. And my husband showed him, took him out back and showed him where our fence is.
We've taken the
portion down out of the trees, and now it's just up to the trees in our back, what's supposed to be our backyard. And then
he remeasured everything and then advised me to go get a building permit.
And give his name.
And send the information back to him, and that this should go away. And then possibly 2 weeks later, we got the notice of public hearing.
So between the date of filing this application, the constables in the field are recognizing the problem and are issuing permits, is the point of the testimony.
We didn't get a permit.
Yeah. And again, we did try, I do want to mention one other thing. When this first issue arose, I wrote a letter because it's an unusual application. It's a variance from an RPC special condition. I wrote a letter to Lawrence asking what procedure we should follow. And somehow that letter got in front of County Council. And County Council, I think, on the basis that only the applicant could apply for an amendment to the RPC, said they didn't want to hear it. So that's why we're back before the Board of Adjustments. But I was uncertain as to the procedure. And I think the County Council clarified the procedure that said, if you have an RPC and you want to amend the RPC, you have to be the original applicant, which they have done in other cases of my clients. Like Bayville Shores is an example where we changed an RPC. So I don't think the County Council has never seen the particular plight that this special use limitation by the RPC ordinance has really imposed on my clients here who just really want a little privacy in their backyards. And again, in the drawing that you have, which is really the next application, you'll see a sketch drawing, and what's proposed is to put the fence. There is a fairly, as the photograph shows, there's two tiers of Leland cypress, and the proposed ending fence would be in the middle of those two strands of trees, so that the people at Silverview Farms will have a strand of loblolly, or what are they? It's Leland cypress on their side, and then they'll see those Leland cypress and will not see the fence. And on the other side, my clients will have a strand of Leland cypress screening the fence, so it'll be natural on both sides. And the fence really is designed to privatize this property. And I think that's all for this application. But if we can just defer and we'll have the second application, it will be quicker on the second application. It'd be my suggestion.
So what you're proposing is the fence will actually be not sticking out.
The photograph was just taken so that it gives you a good view of the road. But the fence will be, I think there's a drawing on
inside the Leylands.
Yeah, inside the Leylands. Yeah. Pastor, do you have the drawing for that?
Yeah. If you could just pass that home.
I want to make sure I understand that the fence was supposed to be removed because of the RPC.
Again, The original RPC approval, the developer had a fence separating Kinsale Glen from Silver View Farms.
Until the natural fence was grown?
Right, and then the RPC, let me just read the text of it, because I can't remember. The ordinance approving the RPC had a couple of easements. This is condition number 2. This is ordinance number 1438. It says a 50-foot wide buffer shall be provided and maintained along County Road 273. The applicant shall maintain a 50-foot wide easement along lands now or formerly a marsh, a Geraldine Marsh, for so long as those remain agricultural. And that's now been, well, I don't know whether that's still applicable because the adjoining land is used as a kind of a driving range. It says a 50-foot wide easement is shown on the concept plan to be maintained by the Homeowners Association shall be enclosed along the boundary of Silver View Farms Mobile Home Park for so long as Silver View Mobile Home Park property is operated as a manufactured housing community. Then it said, the applicant shall be required to impose restrictions within the wetlands. And then it's here it is, number 6. It said, upon completion of construction of the roads, any existing fence separating the parcel and Silver View Farms Mobile Home Park shall be removed at the cost of the applicant. Concurrently with the removal of the fence, there shall be screening trees planted based upon a plan approved by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission to provide a visual screen for Silver View Farms Mobile Home Park in the 50-foot easement. So there was really no specific limitation on additional fences, but the inspectors have interpreted that a fence somehow violated that, and the only way we can get relief is to come before the board and show you what kind of a practical difficulty the no fence situation implies or makes applicable. And the fact that I don't think the ordinance strictly, I think what the ordinance said is we want some kind of plant screening between Silver View Farm and Kinsale. And I don't think anybody considered how a buffer and a backyard works together. So I think we need to be able to separate the two, still providing some buffer that's not part of their backyard, but also giving my clients a usable backyard.
The 50-foot wide easement, was it all taken on the property of the Kinsale?
Yes.
So none of it was on the mobile home park?
No, I think the problem was is that I don't know when Silver View got approved, but I guess when they approved it initially, the adjoining property was owned by the Truitts. So the Truitts just said, use my farm as part of the 50-foot buffer. Lo and behold, they then sold it. And no reservation of easement was retained or anything like that. But then the Truitts opposed Kinsale Glen, and this condition came out of that opposition.
But when you all purchased your property, you had no idea of any 50-foot easement in your backyard?
Absolutely not.
I never bought that house.
And, I mean, the house was still in construction, and there were other homes of similar value that we could have purchased if we would have known. In fact, we even asked a realtor.
It appears these trees are probably about 10, 12 years old.
Yeah, they are. They're huge.
Yeah, I think the screen was put up during the golf course, used to screen the golf course from the mobile home park, and was just retained.
Which means that they're about half life. In another 10, 12 years, you're going to be missing Leyland's and not have any privacy.
Questions for members of the board? Mr. Workman? Mr. Trust, any further? Mr. Mills? No further questions? Excuse me. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? One, two, three, four. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? There's a one, two. Do you wish to come up and be sworn in to testify? Be set right down. Sir, do you wish to speak? If so, please come forward. Okay. Two against. Huh? Two against. Two against, yeah.
Name and address.
James Truitt, 123 Kingsbridge Road, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Do you swear testimony about to give true professional knowledge?
Yes.
Good evening.
This project was gone over very diligently when they closed the golf course, and my family sold that. We had sold the property to Rehoboth Golf Properties, Tony Wiles, who John represented. I went out there and met with Lawrence Lang and Bob Stickles. We walked the whole thing, we looked at it, and I said, you know, this buffer that's in here, what are we going to do about that? We need the buffer, or our manufactured home community will be in violation of the code. And Bob says, well, you know, they're going to have to keep that there because all three other sides, you have a 50-foot buffer, and that's what you have to have a setback. And the buffer you have can't be the road. So we got the road there that's 50-foot. We built this just like a subdivision. This is a first-class community. Any of you gentlemen been out to look at it? Okay, so you know what we're talking about. What I would like to show you is here, Lawrence Lang, when he was here, believe it or not, 12/18 of 75, over 30 years ago, he approved this.
And I only have one. You pass it down there. All right.
That shows the buffer on there. And I came out there and I said, hey, you know, we need this buffer here. It's a manufactured home community. We need to comply, or this could violate us. All your parks have to be that way. So that's how far that goes back. Now, as far as a question I have from Rich Burrow, I'm wondering, can this body here override the county council?
Yes.
They can.
It's not considered overriding. It's variances and special exceptions from existing ordinances.
So something we presented to planning and zoning, some they got approved, it went to county council. You can change it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the buffer. Okay, over 30 years. Bob Stickles sat right there. He talked before county council, explained exactly what we needed. That's why the ordinance was so specific the way it was written. Which all of you have a copy of that, do you? Because we wanted to protect that. Now, that fence that was up there was originally there for the golf course. So those golf balls, they had a hole there. They wouldn't hook them in and hit somebody in the community. And we still got some golf balls over. Those trees were there to block a par three, that if somebody overshot that, it would hit those trees before it would go over and hit a car coming around the corner or the home there on the corner. So that's why they were all put in there by Tony Wiles and his company, Rehoboth Golf Properties. And what they did, they closed the golf course, and 52 acres, we had sold them on a purchase money mortgage. The other part can't be sold because my brother and I own that. That's only in our lifetime when my father left it, the original farm. So when they saw how much land was rolling up there in about 2000, they flipped it and made themselves about $5 million extra and closed the golf course. And that's that. Then this all came up, and I came to all the hearings and did the planning, what we thought we needed to make this place a safe place. Now, as far as what they're testifying to, people in our community are walking their dogs over there, and that it's a crock. We got a rule, rules and regulations. I police it, I do the security. We don't get our people over there. If anything, their people come over in our community to walk and that, believe it or not. And I've got some beautiful places, buffers 50 foot wide, that they can get on up there that are much better than theirs. Because theirs are dense with those trees, you that have been down there, and you see that. Now, they say people walk their dog up there. I wonder how my people walk the dog up when the Lelands are out this far and they're dense in back of that couple's house. Just not true. I mean, go down there and see if you can walk your dog in those trees. You really can't do it. And as far as people going through and vandalism and all this stuff they've had, I mean, I didn't get a record from the police, but I've been there for 32 years, May 1. And I think we've had the police out there for vandalism in 32 years, maybe. I'm gonna go on the heavy end 5 times. When the police go in there, it's a domestic. Somebody has an argument between themselves, but there's not a bicycle stolen. I think in 32 years, I've had one bicycle. We have great people. We interview them all. It's expensive to live there, expensive sewer to live there because they're big lots. I mean, those sewer bills run $500 a year for a manufactured housing. You know, these lots are 6,000 square feet up to 7,200 square feet. So if you rode by there and saw that, it's not the typical trailer park trash. It's a first-class manufactured home community with first-class people. So I would say those people there, quite frankly, most of them are seasonal. They're just as good as the people that live in Kinsale. They're just as good as the people live across the street where I live in the country club. In fact, in the country club across the street where I live, we have more problems than we have in Silverview. Police are in there, all kinds of problems over there. So that is just not true, what they're telling you there. And if they did, I mean, if they said they had police there, they're not because of Silverview Farm. What they have in their part, who knows? Okay, so the wooden fence was there for the golf course. Then I met out there with Bob Stickles and Lawrence, and they said, yes, that should be taken down when the streets were finished and the construction was done, so that all the papers and the stuff from the fences would not blow all over our park and make it dirty. And we still had problems with that because it blew over the fence, but it was a real mess for about 2 or 3 years. So then they cut the fence down, and the plan that county council or planning and zoning, which they drew and they accepted, for that is down there at the bottom. That vegetated, what all there is, there's more than Leland cypress, there's all kind of trees, low type things. It's the whole length, that's what it was supposed to be. Now, it's coming back where they're asking for relief to put fences in there, which is nothing to do with my problem. The fact that these people want relief because they didn't ask the questions, or that Jim Kiernan or DeSabatino didn't tell them where their lot was or that, is not my fault. They say they're a victim. Well, I'm not the perpetrator. The thing is, when you buy a place, that whole thing down the back, you that have been there, that was on the plan called a tot lot. Now, in a tot lot, that's where you take little children to play. And that's why the Leland cypress are up next to us, and then the other part there is lower type things. It's not a place to really walk your dog and curb your dog there, and then take your children out there and play and walk around. So if you get the original plan, you'll see that says tot lot. So there's a lot of things that are kind of deceiving here, and they're not true. They came up that buffer would be held, and they couldn't build anything in it, and a fence is something you build in it, and the privacy and all that would come from the screening and what they built there, and then the homeowners association would maintain it. I mean, in other words, if you came in like they're talking about and put in a privacy fence like this, then when they have to mow where they have to mow down the whole back in 50, you're going to have a stoppage. And when these fences were up, the Mexicans that came there, they didn't even mow that sometimes. They missed it because they said, I can't get by the fence. And then to get it mowed, I told the president, I told J.J. Jones, I said, hey, just let them come around on me and come up there and do that. So what it is, they have a deed on a property like that. I didn't cause that. County Council knew we had to keep the buffer. And quite frankly, what should have been done there? Those four lots should have never been built. But you know how builders are. That's four more lots. That's another $1 million. And, you know, John's aware of that. That's what happened. They shouldn't be there. But they did it to shovel men to get up to, you know, they ended up with 115 lots. So they should have ended up with 110. So I don't see any waste problem. I don't see any safety issue at all. Let's see what else I wanted to cover with you.
Mr. Truitt, how exactly does this injure or harm your mobile home park?
What, the buffer?
The erection of the fences in the buffer.
Well, it's
you, I mean, you don't deny that the land belongs to Kinsale and the individual lot owners, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they say it does. When I've talked to people,
let's assume that the ownership belongs to the associate or the individual lot owners, because I'm sure they have deeds that they could produce. And they own the land, so I'm, you know, I understand the need for the buffer, but I'm not, I don't think you've articulated how this actually harms your mobile home park.
How it harms it?
Yeah.
Well, okay. It's like this. Somebody has said those Leadlands are half life. If you live in Sussex County, you know that. They're going to die. When they do, you got the fence there. We don't have the vegetated buffer that was agreed upon right here that was drawn out that the builder put in. It's destroyed. Who's to say then that they don't come and put a fence back down where the wooden fence was and put something up that looks crazy there? Who's to say they want relief the whole way in back of the tot lot the whole way down? You set the precedent, say, well, we got this. Well, we come in 5, 10 years now. We want this. You have a different group of people here, and they say, well, you know, the precedent's been set.
They have proposed to erect a fence in between the two.
Yeah, but when the trees die, sir. The fence is going to show, the fence is going to be there, and the precedent's going to be set. If you guys vote for this relief, you're going to set the precedent.
And trees could be planted again.
Oh, yeah, but it's going to take them, when they plant them again, if you go, you've been there, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Where some of you have, where you see the big ones up on the end of the golf course, you know, they you can't walk through there, as I told you. Then there's another group of trees they planted about 5, 8 years ago. Well, they've only grown up to about this tall. They're about half grown or something like that. So it's kind of lighter through there. There's no houses there. That's where the tot lot is. And then another place, they failed to even put them in, the builders did. And then the association was good enough to put about 10 in there this spring.
Did the plan specify the height of the vegetation growth?
Well, I can see. Requirement is they maintain the screening trees. So in the event that we would approve this fence, wouldn't change the fact that the screening trees would still have to be maintained.
And granted, I mean.
Well, would you, you know, let's just say, just take yourself, your own body, your own flesh. You're over here in a manufactured home. And you're looking in somebody's backyard. That isn't the normal way you do things. When you don't, you screen it. You don't look in, how many places do you see where you look in someone's backyard? Houses back up, street here, and the houses back up to each other. Then you don't look at what everybody else is putting out. So, you know, as my park goes along and we put double wides in or whatever we had houses that are looking that way. For you, it's been there, you see that.
So what they're going to see is if we allow the fence to go between the screening trees,
mm-hmm.
then what they're going to see is the screening trees.
They're going to see the screening trees till the trees have, you know, till they get bagworms on them and they die. Then guess what they'll see?
Well, what difference is that if
you can't put those mature trees in?
What if the fence is not there? The tree's going to die eventually anyway.
That's right.
That's right. So you're going to have to replant anyway.
Yeah, you're gonna, they're gonna have
what's
to replant.
What's the difference? That's correct, but what's the difference whether there's a fence in between the two vegetative rows or not? If the tree's gonna die.
Well, it's supposed to have this buffer, and it doesn't say anything's to be built there. I mean, what's to stop somebody to put a fence the whole way along once you do that? What's to stop somebody from then, after they do that, asking for...
But it does say to maintain a vegetative screen there.
I mean, they could come along and decide they want to put a deck or a porch or anything in that.
There's setback requirements for that.
They'd be here.
They'll be back again if they want to do that. They just can't, I mean, they're going to be back. They're going to put a fence out.
Already been one party called me over there and asked me about that, and I said, you know, go to planning and zoning. Well, she found out she couldn't do it.
Right.
You've seen the picture there. They had the things the whole way through. They hadn't connected them. There was three fences up there at one time. Now they've taken them down. And I just think it sets a precedent. My son's 31 years old, and he'll probably be there till he's 65. And that's part of his job. He's going to have to look at that, and that could damage us. To have to look in the back, like if you got good green stuff up there, then that's going to soften the whole blow. That's the purpose of taking down the salt-treated fence that was up there for the golf course. That was only there for a safety issue.
Do you agree that this fence was of much higher quality than the salt-treated?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, it's the PVC they had, yeah.
But it looks much better than...
Yeah, and what they came out there, some of them came out with 7 foot. I'm 6 foot. I think some came with 7, some came with 6, and some of them had them like this. I mean, I would think if they want a fence for their animals and that, where their property comes back to the 50, if you look at your print, what's wrong with them putting a fence in there? Or okay, if there's rules there and restrictions, give them a variance up in their front yard. Let them put their up there, close their front yard in. Let them have the variance there to accommodate them. There's a couple ways to skin the cat.
So if the fence was on their side of the natural buffer, you wouldn't be opposed?
I would be opposed. I don't want it in the 50-foot. That's what we planned and we came here to do. Because I think it's... Let me say for the last time, do you know my reason I said that? Because I think it will set a precedent. And once you put that fence in there, when there's four more guys sitting up here, or five, I think they're going to say, you see that board before that did this. Now we want to do this. God knows what we'll have over there looking there. And they may want to put a fence down the whole tot lot, the whole way.
Who's to say that you can be guaranteed that the vegetative growth is going to be maintained then?
Who? The county.
Mm-mm. County does enforce deed restrictions and covenants.
In other words, what they do, they don't enforce this at all. It can go any way it wants. Boy, that's good to know. Gee whiz, I've been keeping mine up all these years, so I could just go out in my buffer and do anything I want, right? That's interesting.
Am I correct in that statement?
Is that right, Rick?
Mr. Burrell.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Truitt, Rick Burrell. Sorry I insulted you, sir.
We've done pretty good on that.
It's part of an ordinance. Theoretically, the county should be enforcing its ordinances, and this was by an RPC.
I think we're going to go tit for tat on that one there, though, really.
I don't know what you're saying, sir.
Sir, can I ask you one question?
Yes.
If they put the fence on the inside of their property and those trees die, you can see the fence anyway, right?
Yep.
So what's the difference in seeing a fence that way and an in-between? You lose them in there by seeing the fence. I don't understand what's the problem with the fence. The tree's going to die anyway. You put small vegetation back again.
To carry that one step further, when the trees die, you're going to see the back of their house with no fence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're also going to see the fronts of those mobile homes.
Right.
So it's a two-way street to try to put a buffer there, just like you do in shopping centers. I mean, this is a thing a few years ago at the outlets. They didn't have all those trees. They put them up so you wouldn't see all the trucks in there. That's what a buffer's for.
That's what I'm trying to say. That people
and this is a vegetated buffer, which gives you a softer deal than a fence. And it's just that those people, if you lived in those homes, it's basically they're not going to be as appetizing to live in when you resell them if you own one. If you got fences you're looking up there to have a soft, nice vegetated thing,
then it's in their best interest to also maintain vegetative growth.
Well, who does that? Who does that? And it's in the ordinance. Is the as long as there's a homeowner association there, that's who does it. That's the way it's set up in
but
the.
But you ordinance. Also just said that it's in their best interest to maintain that too.
You mean the
property values? You just stated that.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying who? Yeah, it's for both sides. But the thing is, the homeowners has to maintain it. You get fences out there.
Right,
and then they don't maintain it. Who's going to take care of that then? Nobody. You know, then that's going to look bad if the trees die. See, that's why it was set up to have a 50-foot buffer. And you got to come back to the premise. That's exactly what Sussex County wants. That's the way they're done. And that was put over there. And the thing is, when the developer came, he knew exactly what that was. We stood here. We talked it over. Bob Stickles, he brought it up, explained to Dale Dukes. And all those guys, he explained to them exactly what we wanted, and that's in the minutes. It's in the minutes, exactly what happened. And that's why I asked Bob if he would present it, and that I wouldn't oppose the thing anymore if they'd give us that there. Now we're right up against it another way. Because the reason we're up against it is it's not my fault. The people said they wouldn't have bought the home, but who did it? Dee Sabatino, Jim Kiernan. And, you know, they did another thing there, too. There's a lot they got in the back. It's on my farm site. They had a big drainage pipe from the golf course. I don't know how they're going to answer that one. Wasn't even in the deed, as far as we know, that goes under there. Big builder out of Middletown. He's, you know, these things do happen that, you know, you don't foresee them. But this here was put up front. And when that buffer was discussed, they came back and threw those four houses right up there. Should have been left open, like the tot lot. And I think the reason that it was approved that way is because we had those, you know, those mature Lelands were there from the golf course.
But did you, are you saying you planted the Lelands?
No, they did. The golf course did. Remember I told you earlier, a par three went towards my community like this. They planted them so the golf balls on the par three, if they're overshot, wouldn't break windows out.
There was also a fence.
That's what the fence was put up for, too. In case you go down the other side, you had a hole running like this if you hooked the ball. And we had balls hooked over it when it was a 6 or 7 foot fence. But they only ran the place, you know, 2 years. So it's to me, I think the biggest thing with it is it sets a precedent, and it could be anything up in that area. And then there's one lot that's the same way down at the other end. So there's four there. And there's one at the other end. That's on this print here. And I think everybody was well aware of it. It wasn't my problem. It's the builder is the greedy one, and that's where it should be taken care of. If the people aren't happy with their lot, guess what? They ought to have to take the house back until they find somebody that does. That's the reasonable thing to do. Another thing. Okay.
Next case we will.
Yeah. Okay.
Finished?
Yep. Thank you. Any further questions? Will you incorporate this testimony in the next case?
Can do both of them together? Yeah, we'll just incorporate the testimony from this one when we finish it into the next one.
Okay, that's all the opposition.
I appreciate that, but my other client has stayed over from D.C., and I just want her to testify just that we can
We're doing one case at a time, so...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is defer and then...
Yeah, there being no other opposition, Chair will entertain the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move with you. Table case number 9512 to get a chance to look at, take a better look at it.
During next regular meeting.
During next regular meeting.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Hudson, excuse me, second by Mr. Workman, that we table case number 9512 to our next regular meeting, which will be on June 19th, 06. All those in favor of the motion, give you the voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, motion carried. In case you've been tabled for our next regular meeting, you don't